undeveloped. This is the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. We interview people from all realms of the open source universe to find out what's hot right now, share some hardships and headaches, give a little advice, and learn about the people behind the screens. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter, at Lullabot, or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you!
On this episode, we are talking with Matt Robison of Lullabot. Hi, Matt!
Hello!
So tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do here.
I am a senior developer here, and I live in Kentucky. Louisville, Kentucky, the intersection of the Midwest and the South, I guess you would call it. I've been doing Drupal since Drupal 5, 8-9 years. Eventually, I'll probably lose count.
So you've been with Drupal for a long time. You've been with Lullabot for a few years now. What sorts of projects are you working on at the moment?
Right now, we're working on a decoupled site. So we're using Drupal 8 to power JSON API to a React front end. So I'm mostly working on the back end of that. Making sure the API is up to snuff.
That sounds like a really tricky task. Let's say, what is one of the most difficult aspects of trying to make that architecture work?
Well, the default JSON API module does a lot of the stuff out of the box with no configuration, so that's great. But when you get to things like embedded content, embedded media, embedded nodes, how do you serve that in an appropriate way? And are those hosted elsewhere? How do you transform the media links, or how do you transform them in the proper way to get exactly what the front end needs, or in something that's easier to consume? Because the way JSON API works, it's going to have, if you don't know what you want, you're going to have to loop through a lot of stuff and sort things out. So really, I would say, anything out of the ordinary that you want to put in the body that's not straight markup is going to complicate things. And it's never going to be as easy as you think it is.
Yeah. I imagine there's a lot of unknowns. People could put just about, depending on how you have that configured, you could put just about anything into the body, into that, accommodating all those unique one-offs or individual use cases. And it sounds like you have to work a lot with the front end to anticipate what they're going to need. Like you said, what could be ingested as well.
Yeah, you can't make any assumptions. Because if you're just using the Drupal theme and ecosystem, you get a lot of stuff for free. But if it's decoupled, you have to ask a lot more questions and take into account a lot more things. So like what data with an embedded node has to go through, what fields are going to be there. The good thing is you don't have to think about how it's going to display, but you do have to know what it needs to be displayed.
It's clearly different than working on a Drupal site where it's all-encompassing, like a Drupal 7 site where it's, I guess, not decoupled, where it's coupled. So is there something in recently in that architecture that has been a really big challenge for you that you're able to overcome that is one of those nice wins you want to hang up on the wall for a little while? You've been working with migration stuff recently, right?
I have. Migrations aren't really sexy, though. They're never. It's always going to be ugly. And you just look back at it. It's like, oh, man.
Well, let's flip it into that then. So this has been a big topic now, migrating data from either an existing Drupal site or an external source into Drupal 8. And Drupal 8 boasts that it has the modules to out of the box in core to do those migrations. So what's been your experience using those and actually getting the data into your Drupal 8 site?
Those are very robust and stable. We've mainly done stuff from Drupal 7 to Drupal 8. But it's mostly worked. I haven't really had a lot of experience with the built-in auto updater to just automagically migrate from Drupal 7 to Drupal 8 because the content model's not going to be the same, or they really do want a fresh start. They go from 30 content types to actually we just want 5. So you don't want to clean up the majority of stuff that gets migrated over. You want to pick and choose. But for the most part, there's, other than little quirks here and there, it all works great.
That's awesome. I know that was always been a big pain point with Drupal sites, is when people have new clients that are trying to move into a Drupal site, how to get the data in. And it's been a lot of custom code and writing. Even in Drupal 7, where it was mostly procedural, we were writing objects, object-oriented programming in those migration scripts. How has that changed in Drupal 8?
Well, it's still the same. You can still do that. Now, the glue where you put everything together is all YAML and configuration files. But you had in Drupal 7, you would have a migration class, and within the setup, you would map your fields. That class is pretty much gone away, and it's replaced with the YAML file. And now you still have classes that are your source and your destination, and then how each piece of data might be transformed mm-hmm. or processed. But other than that, underneath the thing, it would probably look somewhat familiar to anyone who has done a lot of Drupal 7 migrations. At least they'd be able to find their way pretty easily.
What is something that you ran across and it was sort of an aha moment that you would want to pass on to somebody else?
The serialization API in Drupal 8 is pretty awesome. If you learn how to use that, it's going to help in a lot of different areas, including writing APIs. It's what JSON API takes advantage of. It's what the built-in core REST module takes advantage of. And it can be used for a lot of things beyond that. So learning the serialization API is pretty great.
Excellent. That's some great advice. So we are more than just the code or the products that we build. We're we have a very, especially at Lullabot, and I'm sure other companies too, a very diverse group of people here. And it's fun to get to know who is behind the products and the code. So if you were to wake up tomorrow and the internet didn't exist, everything else still the same, what would you do?
If the internet didn't exist, so I would probably read a lot more. I'd probably write a lot more. I'd spend more time with my family. that's more of an indictment on me.
I don't think
how
you're
I spend
alone
my
there.
Time. But I would definitely read a lot more. I like the idea of children's literature. I have three kids of my own, and I like the idea of writing stories for them specifically. And I like the idea of children's literature because they're not necessarily open-ended and long. They can come to a concrete end. They can be simple. And because I have who knows how many novels that only went 10 chapters or stalled or whatever, but
sure.
A children's book you can finish. Mm-hmm. You can at least finish the first draft. And even if you've just finished a first draft, that's more than most people can say. That's an accomplishment in itself. So I like the idea of that. So I'm trying to improve drawing. So the whole business around that,
mm-hmm.
Telling stories in unique ways.
That's great. I really like that. Well, the storytelling, mm-hmm. Obviously reviving a podcast. I have a little bit of that in myself, I hope. You mentioned writing children's books and reading and writing in general. You've actually published a children's book.
I did. I kickstarted a children's book, and it was inspired by something my daughter said way back. I used to tell her stories. She would just come up with a random topic, and I would try to make up a story on the spot. And most of them were pretty horrible, but one night she had the hiccups and was looking pretty miserable. And so she just wanted to know about a story about a princess with hiccups. And so that just got me thinking. And so I wrote that down. It's like, well, what can I do with this? And eventually, I was able to kickstart it and got that out. So it's more of a self-published book, but it turned out really well. Got an illustrator for it and learned a lot along the way, just how much is involved in that process.
That's incredible.
So, and it was a lot of fun. I tried to do a second time. It failed. And so from that, I learned even more in my success to try to. So I'm not giving up yet, but we'll see what happens.
Good. I hope you don't. That sounds like an amazing endeavor. I don't think there's very many people who can say that they've published a book and especially gone through a Kickstarter campaign to do it. So if somebody wanted to get a copy of Princess Hiccup, could they?
Yeah, it's on Amazon, for sale on Amazon.
That's fantastic. All right, we'll make sure we put a link to that in the show notes. So
awesome.
If anyone's looking for, I dare say, Lullabot's first ever children's book? Only ever children's book?
Yeah, I guess so. It was definitely made possible by Lullabot. Lots of bots helped fund the campaign. So I'm definitely thankful for that. So it was definitely a labor of love, mm-hmm. and a lot of people contributed to it.
So you mentioned earlier you're from Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm probably saying the name of that city wrong, because and it seems like everyone has a very specific way of saying it. So I won't even say it again. Say the name of the city you're from.
Well, if you're from Kentucky, it's Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's Louisville. Sometimes it's Louisville. There's a lot of different ways to say it. Yeah.
I know that's especially during college sports seasons. That always comes up, and it seems to be a point of contention. So other than when it comes up for college sports or the baseball bat, what's something that I might not know, or that listeners might not know about Louisville or Kentucky?
Well, it's not as backwards as a lot of the stereotypes you might hear about. It's beautiful. It's very hilly. It's not flat. Lots of undeveloped land.
So if someone were to come visit through the Midwest, it would definitely be a place to stop on the way through. It sounds very picturesque and sort of close down home.
Yeah, it doesn't take too long to get to the countryside, some rolling hills.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to drive too far out of the city. But of course, there's also bourbon. I think if I'm not mistaken, I think 90% of the world's bourbon is brewed within 100 miles of Louisville.
But wow,
it's some, don't quote me on that. It's some absurd statistic like that.
Mm-hmm. But that's
there's a bourbon trail that you can go on to, and they all provide tasting. Mm-hmm. So if you're into that type of thing,
wow, that's really good to know. So yeah, anybody out there who is into, say maybe a bourbon connoisseur, that would be the place to come through and check it out. That's very good, interesting. So I have one last question before we go. None of us got where we are on our own. Is there anybody recently or in the past, a person or a group or an organization that has helped you out, has done something for you that you would share some gratitude with or just say thank you?
Yeah, I would say one of the key members of the Drupal community that really helped me out a lot was Ryan Zarama. And he lived in Louisville at the time when I was first getting into it. And I actually met him at the first DrupalCon San Francisco that I went to. And he sort of just took me under his wing. And he didn't have to do much, but just, you know, invite me out to dinner once on every DrupalCon or stuff like that, that just really made an impact. Not really anything hard technical, but just being a good guy.
Yeah. No, sometimes that's the biggest gesture, and that's fantastic. So thanks for taking the time and sharing that with us, Matt.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Behind the Screens. If you have ideas for questions or segments, or if you're organizing a camp or an event and you would like to promote it, or if you just have some cool stuff you want to share, tweet us at Lullabot or drop me an email at chris@lullabot.com. Also, if you're liking the podcast, don't forget to go onto iTunes and give us a rating and a review. Until next time.